Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we speak with Vincent Wycliffe, the general manager and vice president of the Eldorado and Joker's Wild, two casinos owned by Boyd Gaming in Henderson, Nevada. Wycliffe started in the gaming industry as a dealer in downtown Las Vegas. His is the quintessential story about how to advance in the gaming industry. Work hard, be flexible concerning hours and where you work, and take advantage of any and all opportunities that present themselves. After starting downtown, Wycliffe has worked in burgeoning markets including Kansas City, Missouri, and New Orleans. He returned to Las Vegas to work at several Boyd Gaming properties and now oversees operations at the Eldorado and Joker's Wild. He spoke with us in April, along with associate editor Greg Jones, at his office in Henderson. His office, by the way, is formerly the office of Boyd Gaming chairman Bill Boyd.
Speaking here with Vincent Wycliffe.
That's correct.
Vice president and general manager of the Eldorado and Joker's Wild casinos in Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you first for joining us.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to ask you, when you first got started in gaming, it was about 20 years ago at the Golden Gate in downtown Las Vegas. At that point, were you planning on making gaming a career? Were you trying to work your way up, or was it just a job at the time?
Oh, at the time I came into the industry, my intention was to make it a career.
Okay. And what are some of the things that you've been able to do that have helped you move up, you know, from your entry-level position as a dealer at the Golden Gate to where you are today?
Well, I would think it's hard work, I was very flexible. I was able to work long hours. I was able to work any shift, and I also availed myself to for the opportunities with the expansion within Boyd Gaming. I went to different properties out of state, and that gave me an opportunity.
You know, so for you, you've worked at the Treasure Chest in New Orleans, in Sam's Town in Kansas City. What were you doing at those properties?
Well, at the Treasure Chest, the initial intention was I was going to go over there and I was going to be promoted into a pit manager's position. But I initially went over there to help with the school. Okay. I taught blackjack and I taught the dice for that particular property. When we came into that area, gaming was not there. And it was an opportunity for me to not only see the operation from the beginning, but also have an opportunity to work with, get an opportunity to meet the people that would have eventually worked under me or with me at Treasure Chest. I was there during the summer months, and I taught the dealer school. And at the conclusion of dealer school, I decided that New Orleans wasn't the place for me. So I came back to Las Vegas. And then shortly thereafter, it became another opportunity with Sam's Town, Kansas City.
Okay.
And that's how I went out there.
You were there in the summertime. It was a little hotter than Las Vegas.
That was a real awakening. I mean, you know, being in Louisiana in June, July, and August, that's pretty rough.
Now, in Kansas City, what did you do there?
When I went to Kansas City, I was initially a pit manager. And then I moved up from being a pit manager to being an operations manager. Kansas City was a similar size property as Joker's in El Dorado is here in Las Vegas. It was a boat, but it was inside it didn't move. It was, right next to a land-based facility. And there I started out as a pit manager and I became operations manager, which gave me the foundation that helped me understand. I already had an understanding of the table games segment of the business. Then I was exposed to the food and beverage, also the land-based part of the facilities, which were a valet and other operations outside of the gaming operations. That property.
What did you learn in these new jurisdictions? Obviously, neither one of these jurisdictions have had gaming prior to the late 90s. Was it a revelation for you to see what gaming had done to a community or what it brought to a community that may have been down on its luck?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It took one thing I can say very favorable about the Kansas City experience in Missouri, the people had an outstanding work ethic. I've also been told in various stories that other jurisdictions we went into wasn't that great of a work ethic, but in Kansas City it was. The other thing was you saw people that made very modest amounts of money, And with the gaming and the tip rate and all that sort of thing that comes with it, they were making a great deal of money in that environment. The other thing it helped me realize, and I appreciate today, is, you know, when you come from Las Vegas, you have a certain mindset about how gaming goes, sure, and how it should operate, and professional skepticism, I call it, a basic mistrust of people, and they have to prove their trust. In those environments, both in Kansas City and in the New Orleans area, in particular, we're talking about Kansas City, the people were very trusting. Mm-hmm. Midwest values, right. You can take a man or woman at their word, and they mean what they say, you know. So when we came in there with our professional skepticism, we kind of put ourselves in a bad light with the public, because, you know, if somebody says, hey, I gave you my word, and they stand by it, right. When you question that, then they question you and your business, the way you do business. And truly, that was an eye-opening experience for many of us that went through the Kansas City experience. And again, it helped me to this day understand that when you're in Rome, you're a Roman, and when you're in Greece, you're a Grecian, and you can't mix the two, you know.
So what brought you back to Las Vegas after Kansas City?
Well, Kansas City opened, I opened and closed Kansas City. And when I came back, Mr. Boyd and Keith Smith saw fit to bring me back to Samstown, Las Vegas. And when I came back to Sam's Town, Las Vegas, remember, I was an operations manager. I went back to being a pit manager, and I was a pit manager for a brief period of time. And from there, I got involved in the last expansion at Sam's Town, which encompassed the theaters that are there now, and also was an entertainment center that went up there. And in my involvement in that, it gave me an opportunity to be, and with my background in Kansas City, it gave me an opportunity to become the night manager there. And then I was a night manager, which I oversaw all, basically I spent most of my time in non-gaming areas in the evening hours. I was the most senior person on property during the evening hours.
Okay, and I guess the last one in the career path here is what led to El Dorado, well, and Joker's Wild, sorry.
Oh, okay. What happened there was 9/11 came along, and there was a contraction within the company. And I went back to where I started with the company, which was the Fremont. And I was a shift manager there, and then shortly thereafter, they gave me an opportunity to be assistant general manager of Joker's Wild. Okay. 2004, September 2004, I came to Joker's Wild, and being there, I worked under Leif Erickson was the general manager at the time, and he's moved on to he's the director of operations for Gold Coast, and that afforded me an advancement position into this position I hold now.
Okay, now with these properties, are you looking at, you know, geographically they're not too far away, but mm-hmm. you're still drawing customers from somewhat different areas. Mm-hmm. What's really your customer base for each of these properties? What's your target?
Our target market is, of course, the Henderson locals,
okay,
and the greater Las Vegas Valley area. Joker's Wild is unique as it doesn't have a neighborhood, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it doesn't have a neighborhood, most of our business that goes to Joker's Wild, it drives. So again, they're driving past many casinos to get to our casino. And what we hope to target is value conscious driven individuals. Joker's Wild and El Dorado, if you've ever been in our restaurant, you can see our food prices are circa 1980. And again, we that's our target market, is a value-conscious, value-driven customers. And we share a lot of our common database between both properties, because our players' card can be used at both properties.
What's the favorite game among your players? I mean, are they mostly slot players or video poker or table games?
I tell you what, video poker, as far as a slot product, okay, video poker is the most popular. But we also have a unique pocket of people that love our craps game on the table game side.
All right.
Our craps, we open it up, and people swarm around it, and they stay there pretty much all day long, every day. And there's been relationships amongst the players developed at that table and over the years, and that on the table game side has helped us. And again, on the slot side, it's predominantly poker. We brought in a lot of new video reel product, and people are playing that now. And that's the basis of our clientele.
Looking for the most informative weekly publication in the gaming industry? Subscribe to Global Gaming Business Weekly, the only electronic news magazine that brings the news of the gaming industry to your desktop every Monday morning. Global Gaming Business Weekly is a complete publication with information on the gaming industry in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and beyond. Read about the latest moves in Indian gaming, the updated research about problem gaming, the breaking news that will impact everyone in the gaming industry, all in one publication. Global Gaming Business Weekly is read by all the top executives in the gaming industry before they start their work week. Shouldn't you? To subscribe, go to the Global Gaming Business website, www.ggbmagazine.com, click on the Global Gaming Business Weekly icon. Don't be the last to know. Read Global Gaming Business Weekly every Monday morning.
Now, Joker's Wild, do you have a poker room over there?
Sure do.
How's that working out?
Poker room, you know, like many poker rooms throughout the valley, we've had our peaks and valleys. Again, we have a core of customers that play there. We have one of the best tournaments as far as you take an operation of its size, and you look at our poker tournaments, we have great turnouts. You know, if you're part of 30, 35 participants, you have an opportunity to get the lion's share of $700-$800 worth of pool. You know, it brings out a lot of people to come and play that. And again, we've experienced the peaks and valleys of poker throughout the valley. And right now, knock on wood, we're in a peak cycle, so we're happy with it.
How about your video poker games? Obviously, you're in competition with the station properties, Fiesta, right down the street.
Absolutely.
Do you tweak that a little bit to give the players a little bit of a better game to play, or are you pretty much offer the same kind of product that the surrounding casinos?
We pretty much offer what the surrounding casinos offer, although we do have, again, we're value-driven, so we have, at both properties, we have $11.99 Royals, which most quarter Royals pay $1,000. So we give them a premium on that. You'll find that our pay tables are quite generous. We run a lot of 9-6 pay tables, where a lot of other places are 9-5, 8-5. And if we talked on the strip, some places are 6-5.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So we're pretty generous as far as our pay tables are concerned on our poker product.
And since your customers are value conscious, your minimums are a little lower than you'd find in one of the local casinos, say a station or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. During the week, we run a dollar dice game. Okay. And on the weekend, it's $2 at Joker's. Mm-hmm. Stays a dollar here at El Dorado 7 days a week. And we also have a $3 game at both properties. And I challenge anyone to find a $3 game in this town. And for the most part, our minimums are $5. Again, not only the value-driven customers, but people that are inexperienced but want to learn the game, it's not an expensive proposition at our properties.
And I'm assuming it's not going to be very intimidating. Your dealers will be friendly and help them learn the game.
That is the tantamount to our business success. It's our employees. Our employees are friendly. Proximity, you're closer. They're smaller properties, so you get to know the customers a lot easier. And a lot of our employees have relationships as far as friendly relationships with our customers. They know them. They know their birthdays. They know a little bit about their families. And that's been our biggest asset to both properties is our employees.
So there's no dummy up and deal philosophy here?
No. It's just the opposite. Open up your mouth and smile and talk to the customers. Make them feel at ease.
Right.
You know, that's important.
Boyd Gaming has put some money into the El Dorado here. A little bit of renovation, you know, the murals outside, sort of part of an overall, you know, downtown Henderson revitalization effort. Could you talk about what was done specifically here at the casino?
Inside the casino?
Inside and out.
Oh, outside? Yeah, we had some hand painting murals put outside to bring back some nostalgia back to the property. We painted the building and our garages. So we did some exterior renovations as well. We put out a little canopy out there. It says El Dorado on the street, trying to blend in with the whole theme of the downtown area. Inside, we've changed the carpet. We've done things to the as far as wallpapering. Just recently, we modified one of the entries that are between us and our competitor with a double doors. So when we have in Vegas from time to time. We have extreme temperatures and heat.
Yeah.
And in our short winters when it's cold, right. We've created a double door so it doesn't the temperature in the casino can stay steady.
All right. Do you have any future plans, anything else planned for this property?
Any future plans?
Yeah,
we're going to finish. We also changed our sports boards. We went to a more modern look. We used to have the old grease board look. Mm-hmm. Now we have a modern electronic. Again, we're part of the Boyd Gaming family of casinos, so our boards are compatible to the Orleans, which is the hub for our sports book. We have two more panels to put on, and once we put those panels on our sports board, then the Orleans will be able to control our boards for the property here.
All right.
Also, we're going to shrink the Keno lounge area to provide more room for our sportsbook area. And further down the line, we would hope to put in additional restrooms as well here at this property.
How involved are you in the revitalization of downtown Henderson? There's been some remarkable things that have happened here in the last couple of years in the downtown area, mm-hmm. and obviously it's the largest business. I'm assuming you're the largest business down here. You've got to have some sign-off ability on this.
Well, they reach out to us, mm-hmm. in multiple ways. but they do that. And the other thing that's good about this is they bring a lot of diverse people into mm-hmm. the community. Down in the older part of downtown Henderson, mm-hmm. and we feel the impact of it, particularly in our food our restaurants, mm-hmm. because believe me, anybody that comes here, and if they're from any other state or particularly from California, and they walk into our restaurant, they're going to realize that these prices are 1980 prices, and mm-hmm. and the food value is, and again, the food value is very great, and our prices are. I'll put them up against anyone in the valley.
Right. You know. And when they have the festivals here in downtown, I'm sure that, mm-hmm. that you get some spillover from that.
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, most of the spillover is in our bathrooms.
Yeah.
but we would hope that truly the goal and what we envisioned when we started were part of the downtown revitalization was to introduce people to the El Dorado that normally wouldn't have an opportunity
sure.
to come down here. If you guys are old Vegas Valley folks, you'd remember that years ago, if you were in Henderson or in the Green Valley area, you'd have to come down to downtown Henderson and get your power turned on and, yeah. and those type of things. So that would bring people downtown. No longer is that you can get that done anywhere through multiple outlets. And truly, with the revitalization, it's going to help bring people downtown, to downtown, older part of downtown, mm-hmm. Henderson, that might not have ever came into our area.
Are there any plans for Joker's Wild, or have you done anything recently? I don't remember.
Well, Joker's Wild, we've added a snack bar. We didn't have a snack bar before. It makes a big difference on our late swing and graveyard business.
Okay.
We've done that. Also, we've... we've done a lot of exterior renovations as far as signage on the property. In terms of lighting, we've gone with low energy bulbs but higher resolution gives the building a better look at night, sharper, crisper. Also painted, striped the parking lots, things of that sort. All exterior things
okay.
that improve the property.
And the Boulder Highway is seeing a good amount of attention right now. I mean, with, mm-hmm. with Boyd Gaming, there was everything you talked about at Samstown, the, mm-hmm. the new sports book, and, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Got Cannery Casino Resorts getting mm-hmm. ready to open up Eastside Cannery this summer.
Yes.
And that's not too far, really, from Joker's Wild, or for that matter, El Dorado.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With all that investment in the area, do you think that's going to help the overall gaming, like your two properties at El Dorado here and Joker's Wild? Do you think that'll increase interest in the product?
Well, I would like to be optimistic and think that the addition of the Eastside Cannery is going to help grow the pie, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
What's truly going to help impact our properties more so than the Eastside Cannery is going to be the building of this super Target that's happening right up here off of Lake Mead.
Yeah.
Anywhere that's going to bring people to the area that might not have had a reason to come into the area is going to help us out. People that are going to the Eastside Cannery are going there because they want to gamble, and they're gamblers, and they do that already. Truly, what's going to help invigorate both Joker's Wild and El Dorado are bringing people that come into the community for different reasons, and then they discover our properties, and then they find that it's small, intimate, and it's friendly, and then they will frequent our places off of that. So,
you know, one of the things, sort of the buzzword right now, at least, is, you know, softening economy, recession, slowdown, all that kind of stuff. As a 20-year veteran of the industry, I'm sure you've seen, you know, these things come and go. Sort of,
yes.
Like you mentioned with poker, there's peaks and valleys,
exactly.
Ups and downs. It's pretty cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
What's your impression of you know, the current situation of the economy and how it's affecting the gaming industry right now?
People have limited disposable income. With that limited disposable income, they have choices on what they're going to do with that income. And quite frankly, with limited disposable income, you have limited choices. I would hope that with the limited choices, that people will go where their dollar stretches it further. That would be the ideal thing to think.
That'd be your properties.
Oh, yes, it would be. But along with that, it has negatively impacted the whole valley. You know, we would hope that it'll be an upturn. Again, we have the larger properties, our own property, Echelon, on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
These larger properties bring in, they employ the people that frequent our casinos. And with the city project and all these projects that are coming online and coming up, with the employment that they're going to create, the increase in employment will only give us better opportunity, because they'll be employing the people that live in the valley. And again, we have the locals, and the people that are the locals are the people that work in other casinos and other service industries.
And you know, so, sort of what you mentioned with the new people coming for those, you know, like Echelon City Center,
mm-hmm.
and your primary target being locals, you think you're a little better insulated than some of the places that are more that cater more to tourists?
I would say no. And the reason being is because, alluding back, we're having foreclosures in the valley at an all-time high, all-time rate. You know, these are the people that are our customers. The people that are a little more insulated are the destination places. You know, working in outside of the jurisdiction of Nevada, there's people that save all year long to come to Las Vegas. Those people are coming to our to the destination properties. With regards to insulation, they have people that they can draw on from not only all over the United States, but all over the world. In our own backyard, we need to get our situation straight before it helps us along. We have a lower expense rate, so therefore we can hold on a little longer, mm-hmm. tighten up our belt a little bit stronger. But the thing is, if you're a destination place, people save and they come there specifically to spend their money in those places.
On Boyd Gaming, mm-hmm. you know, Boyd has been noted for advancing, you know, its people within.
Absolutely.
They, you know, they've been, you know, very noted for bringing people up. In fact, you know, Keith Smith and
absolutely
Bogner, everybody has risen up from the inside.
Is
that why you've stuck with them so long? Is because, you know, they've treated you well, and it is that family atmosphere?
Absolutely. I couldn't handpick a better person to work for than Bill Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
He's a man of his word. He's a man. Integrity is one of the cornerstones of our whole company. And, you know, there's a lot of other places I could have worked.
Mm-hmm.
But I stayed here because of the way I've been treated, the respect it just permeates from Bill straight through to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned a name, Bob Bogner. Bob Bogner was at this very property,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there's a long list of people that started at the El Dorado,
mm-hmm.
with going back to the early days when it was Boyd Group, and
right.
even before it was
mm-hmm.
Boyd Group. The treatment that I've received is it's mm-hmm. been nothing but the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Boyd Gaming is now a huge national company with big properties all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a normal company, the El Dorado would be almost an afterthought. But
yes.
But it isn't, because we know we're sitting here in what mm-hmm. used to be Bill Boyd's office.
Yes.
So you get a lot of attention from the big boss, I guess.
Yes, he calls me regularly.
Yep.
He checks on me, see how everything is going. He's been a very strong supporter of me.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, because of his endorsement and sponsorship of me, I'm on the board of directors for the Southern Nevada Boys and Girls Club. And again, I'm very proud to be part of that because of the lineage that's connected to that. His father founded it down in here in Nevada, and Bill's been a strong supporter of it, and it's a great organization, and I'm just proud that he saw fit to sponsor me as far as being part of it.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's great to see you, and you know, good luck with your career. I think, again, you're with the perfect company.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.